Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 753. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, the legend, Paris Lilly.
I am definitely not a legend, but good morning. Legend, you are the legend. You are the podcast Hall of Famer. You are the reason that I am a podcaster in the first place, so all the credit goes to you.
No, Paris, you're a legend in the Destiny community, so I could call you a legend.
Right on.
How's everything, man?
No, good, everything man. Good? No, good. Good weekend. Cool, hanging out with the kids. It's a good time.
It's good. Yeah, I went to the movies this weekend, man. I watched A Quiet Place. My God, what a good movie. I was not expecting that movie to be good. Excellent. Highly recommended, man. Really good. I know we talked about this, too. Did you watch the Blockers?
Yeah. We saw Blockers Friday night. It was funny. It was a good movie. I shouldn't say slowly, but I've always been a fan of John Cena, but I got a lot of respect for that dude, man, because even before I saw Blockers, I listened to him on the Nerdist podcast. I know they just changed their name, but the Nerdist podcast. And he was on there just talking about Blockers, talking about his wrestling career and everything. And he was just being himself. And it was great, man. I was like, this is a smart dude, man. And then he was really, really funny in Blockers. He had some great moments. So shout out to John Cena. But since speaking of wrestling, I also watched that Andre the Giant documentary this week. Really, really good. If you're a fan of Andre the Giant wrestling in general, highly recommend that you watch that. Not only does it tell the story of Andre the Giant, but it also kind of gives you like a little mini history of the wrestling business as well. And it's really good. I definitely recommend people go check that out.
Is that also 60 minutes?
Is it over? Pretty sure it's over 60 minutes. I want to say it's almost like an hour and a half, something like that.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, definitely would check it out, man. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Also, you can find us on AudioBoom.com, or if you have different apps on your phone, doesn't matter if you're Android, iOS devices, or even tablets, you could go and download these apps right here. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, we're everywhere. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, or if you can, post your review. It'll help us out big time. It will help us get like our name out there to new listeners and everything. So yeah, make sure to do that. This week, I'm not going to be streaming on Twitch because I have to attend Hispanicize. It's like a pretty big conference happening here in Miami, Florida. Thursday night, I have to attend the awards, Tekla Awards. I got nominated, so wish me luck. I got my outfit ready. Everything is good. But I know they're also going to be streaming the awards on the Thursday night on their Facebook page, official Facebook page. I'm going to post a link under our description of this episode. But yeah, make sure to tune in. The award show is going to start at 8 p.m. I have to present an award, and also we'll see if I win an award too, man. So also during the Spanish size, I have to be part of a panel all about podcasting. I'm going to be there with other podcasters talking about, like, you know, how we started, how to promote your shows and all that stuff. So if you're local here in Miami, make sure to attend the event. It's going to be pretty, pretty good, man. So very, very excited about that, man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so Paris, I know God of War is coming out later this week, man. Great, great reviews of the game, man, for the PlayStation 4. Great buzz. Tens everywhere. Perfect scores everywhere, right? Your thoughts, man? Your hype? What were your thoughts about the game, man?
I'm very happy to see the universal praise that God of War is getting. And, you know, just just a testament to what Sony Santa Monica, Corey Balrog and his entire team has done with that game, because they've really reinvented the franchise. Again, I'm not, I want to play it for myself and experience the story for myself. But what everyone is saying about the story is what really cements that this game is just getting nines and tens across the board, because it's a more personal story for Kratos. It's a father and son story. And, you know, obviously being a parent and having children of my own, I'm sure I would definitely be able to relate to whatever it is that they're saying in that game. So really looking forward to getting my hands on it coming up this Friday. You know what? As I say that,
what's up?
I probably will get it that Friday, but I'm going to barely be able to touch it because I'm going to be out of town, like literally the next morning until Infinity War comes out on Thursday. So actually my hands on with God of War is going to be a little delayed before I can really get in depth with it. But going back to my point, you know, it also looks to be a technical showcase on the PlayStation, and not just the PS4 Pro, but even the base PlayStation 4 as well. Everyone, like Digital Foundry, had a fantastic video about just the technical aspects of God of War, just, you know, the checkerboard that it's using to do 4K on the PS4 Pro, you know, its performance mode versus its you know, visual mode, I guess you want to call it, comparison between the two. Sounds like performance mode in certain cases, while not doing, obviously not, you know, being true 4K or anything, can actually hit 60 frames per second in certain scenarios, but it sounds like the visual mode is probably the more preferred mode to play it in if you're on the PS4 Pro, because I mean, it's doing checkerboard rendering to get it up to 4K, and it's just locking it in, you know, at a solid 30 frames per second, and obviously HDR and all that other great stuff that goes with that. But even on the base PS4, it's locking in native 1080p, 30 frames per second, just a smooth gaming experience all the way. And just all the videos and screenshots that I've seen of the game, I mean, it just looks beautiful. So I'm definitely looking forward to that visual showcase. Like, I believe it was Digital Foundry went as far as to say, this is the best looking game they've ever seen on a console. So that is truly high praise.
Wow.
You know, when you say something like that. But you know, even just the gameplay mechanics and everything, you know, the new fixed camera is really just locked right over the right shoulder of Kratos the entire time. So, I mean, they've really reinvented God of War with what they've done with this game. So, like I said, I'm just excited to get my hands on it, and so I can have my own personal impressions of it. But this is good for, you know, just I'll wrap it up by saying this. This is just good for everybody that God of War is getting this praise. Forget that it's PlayStation exclusive and all that. It doesn't matter. This is good for gamers, period. You know, because this is what we want. It is a single player game that's not tied to any kind of microtransactions or anything that's going to try and upsell you 6 months down the road. It's like, you know what? We just made a great game with a great story. You can sit down, play it at your own pace, and enjoy it for what it is. And I think that's something we've lost this gaming generation as a whole. I mean, sure, there's one-off experiences that we've seen with, like, you know, maybe an Uncharted or, you know, like a Witcher 3 or things like that, where it's that single player self-contained experience that you can enjoy. And I hope we get to see more of this generation. I'll sidetrack slightly and say that I know Phil Spencer came out recently. This was on Twitter. He was responding to Ryan McCaffrey at IGN, just talking about obviously Xbox and the struggles with, you know, exclusive content and all that. And he just assured that, you know, look, we had to fix the hardware, we had to fix the services and all that. They did all that, and now their focus is on these type of gaming experiences. So I'm actually very excited to see what Microsoft's going to be able to show off here at E3 and beyond as well, because again, I don't care about the platform, I just want great games. And I hope seeing the success that PlayStation has had will push these other publishers, be it first party or third party, to do similar things.
Yeah, I'm very excited to actually play this game. And now my question to you is, are you more excited to play God of War or Spider-Man? Because I think those are going to be the two big games. And it has potential to be the biggest games of 2018, similar to what happened last year with, you know, Mario Odyssey and Zelda. for like a first party title, it's rare to see that from any other company. But I think PlayStation might be the next one for this year, man.
I think I'm more excited for Spider-Man just because Spider-Man is probably my favorite comic book superhero of all time. Just on a personal note, and the potential of what Insomniac is going to be able to do with that open world, you know, with Spider-Man and that universe. But you know, I love God of War as well. I've always been a big fan of Kratos and what they've done with that series. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited for both, but it just goes back to what I was saying previously. This is just good for gaming, period. You know, again, another game that's a single player game that's not trying to tie you into microtransactions and upsell you on something. Sure, Spider-Man will have DLC down the road, but that's just continuing the story. Your choice if you want to buy it or not. You're not being forced to go buy that DLC to enjoy that single player experience that Spider-Man is going to be able to give you. You know, same with God of War. So, yeah, I can't wait for September 7th. I know we've talked offline about Spider-Man. I truly think, you know, even though it is a PlayStation exclusive, this is probably going to be one of the biggest games of 2018. Like, when I say big, I'm talking it's going to rival whatever Red Dead and Call of Duty is going to do. It's going to be up there, even though it's just on the PlayStation platform. Because, again, they got 75 million PlayStations out there. I'd be very curious to see what the attach rate will be for all those PlayStations that are out there in the wild. Because I think a lot of people will that own a PlayStation will go pick up Spider-Man. And I think a lot of people that don't own a PlayStation will consider buying a PlayStation so that they can play Spider-Man. I think that's how big this IP is going to be for them.
You know, speaking about Phil Spencer, I know you mentioned him a couple minutes ago about like how the team was focusing on the hardware first and now they're focusing on the games. I think that's very important to me because, you know, back in 2013, we were all complaining about the hardware, the issues and Kinect and it's so expensive and everything, you know, and I think that throughout the years, they've been focusing on that. I mean, it's not 100% perfect, but they've done a lot of changes that I think is going to help the consoles to sell more in the future. And now that they're working on the games, I think that's important, man, that Phil Spencer himself saying that to on Twitter. You know, usually a lot of the people like Phil Spencer in that position, they always stay quiet. They really don't say anything. And you probably will find out like during interviews or at E3. It's good to see that. He posted that online because that's something that I think we needed as a fan of Xbox. I think we needed that from him, you know. So, your thoughts?
Well, I'll say this, and we'll go back. This is a negative thing towards what he said. I'm glad he said it, but when I read it, I also went back to 2013 and go, well, why wasn't this the focus from day one? Why wasn't this your focus when you launched this Xbox One platform? Because see, here's the funny thing that PlayStation did. PlayStation has been curating their internal studios since 2013, over this period of time. And now we're starting to see it pay off. But what they did in the meantime, while these first-party games weren't ready yet, they were backfilling it with some indie titles. And obviously, they made some great third-party marketing deals to give the incentive to want to play, to make people want to pick up a PlayStation. Obviously, you know, going back to 2013, it was $100 cheaper too. So obviously that played a big factor in all of this. Yeah, Xbox tried some things with things like Sunset Overdrive. Obviously, they had Halo, they had Gears, you know, they had, oh my God, now I'm forgetting the name, the one from Remedy, Quantum Break, you know, things like that. But they just didn't have the broad appeal that they were hoping to. But as we also know, a big focus for Xbox back then was their internal media studios with TV and movies and all that. And obviously they were pushing the Kinect thing and all that. So their eye wasn't 100% on the prize of gaming only. They were trying to make themselves bigger than just a gaming platform. Whereas PlayStation doubled down on the fact that we're gaming first, everything else is secondary. And look, it's the past. What happened. This isn't, hey, let's slam Microsoft right now. But Phil Spencer did have a seat at that table, and he's admitted this too. He was a part of that decision-making process back in 2013 when whatever they made the Xbox One what it was. But they force-corrected now. They're fixing it. You know, we wouldn't have a Game Pass right now. We wouldn't have an Xbox One X right now. we wouldn't have a lot of what the amazing things are doing with Mixer right now. We probably don't have those things either if they didn't make those mistakes back then. So, yeah, it sucks that that happened. But I think moving forward, Xbox is course corrected, and it's going to push PlayStation as well. So PlayStation can't just sit on their laurels as well. And then obviously we've seen that Nintendo's made a great resurgence with the Switch. So again, as gamers, we all win with this. We all win because we're just going to get great games, and we're getting amazing, you know, pieces of hardware, and these companies are taking actual risk with the things that they're doing with their services now. And like I said, we're all happy for it. Look, we don't have this Red Dead 4K enhancement if Xbox didn't screw up back in 2013, because they never would have done an Xbox One X. They never would have cared about doing backwards compatibility. We would not have them pushing the needle on that front, which, like I've said in the past, will force PlayStation to do something similar with PlayStation 5. There is no way a PlayStation 5 comes out and it does not have a backwards compatibility component, because people will say, well, why aren't you doing that? Because Microsoft is doing it. Why are you forcing me to use PlayStation Now or keep my PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 3 around? It all should work on PlayStation 5. You know, matter of fact, I'll tell the story real quick. So I was up like at 4 a.m. yesterday, and I fired up my Xbox One X, and I have Halo 3, you know, the 360 version of it. And that I own digitally. I downloaded it. And I was like, yeah, it's because it said it was Xbox Enhanced. I was like, yeah, let's download it. Let's see what it looks like. So I downloaded it, you know, boom, played it, saw that 360 emulator fire up, and everything was just seamless. I mean, within 10 minutes of me saying I wanted to play Halo 3, I was in playing Halo 3 as it was on the Xbox 360, but now it was in 4K. And my hands did like this for people on Twitch, because I was like, I forgot the controls key for Halo 3. I was like, wait. Wait, how do I do anything? And I had to figure that out for a second. But I played like that first opening level, and it was great, you know. And that's the kind of things that Microsoft has brought to the table now, that you can have that nostalgia factor, and it all just works seamlessly now. So, yeah, it's, I know we've kind of sidetracked way off of God of War and everything, but it is a great time for gaming. It really is. And with E3 coming up here in less than 2 months, I'm really looking forward to seeing what all these companies are going to have to show.
You know what? As much I know we always mention about all these companies and stuff, but I think this E3 is going to be the most important one for Microsoft, in my opinion, because, all right, they already promoted Xbox One X and Xbox One S, right, for the past few years. It's already out. Now is the time to show us the games. PlayStation has been doing great with the first party games. Nintendo's been doing great, right? But now it's Microsoft's turn, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they don't show a big exclusives for this and next year, I think they're in trouble, man, for the future, man. They need to show games that is going to pump us up and maybe get us excited about Game Pass and other stuff, man. You know, so get us excited, man. You know, without these first party games, then what's the point of owning an Xbox? I could just play third party games on any other system. You know what I'm trying to say? So, I think it's going to be a very, very important E3 for them, man.
Absolutely, it is, because to me, this is the year that you got to set the roadmap for what we can expect on their platform over the next 2 to 3 years, in my opinion.
Yep.
Instead of just focusing on what we'll get this holiday, I need to see what's coming in 2019, maybe even in 2020. You know, let me know that you're working on these things and that what we can expect from them. Let me know that you're doubling down on that single player experience for some of that stuff. Let me know how you're expecting to expand Game Pass and just the things that you're doing with Xbox Live and how you're integrating Mixer into all that. It's like they really need to showcase what we can expect, you know, on the Microsoft platform, you know, this year and beyond. Like we said, Halo 6 has got to be in the next calendar year, in my opinion. And it may not come this holiday, but I would expect a year from now, I will have played Halo 6, excuse me. And they need to start talking about that and showing that and what we can expect. Matter of fact, Master Chief Collection just went to Game Pass, as an example. So that's another thing where you can give that incentive to people. We know the big 4K enhancements coming for that. You know, we know that a Fable 4 and a Perfect Dark is being worked on. Talk about it. Let me know that where it is. What's up with Crackdown 3? Show it off. Talk about it. Be upfront with these things. Let us know what we can expect. For the love of Jesus, give me Banjo-Kazooie. You know, I don't care who's making it. Just give me Banjo-Kazooie, because I really want a Banjo-Kazooie platformer to come back. A la a Mario Odyssey-esque. If they could pull that off, oh, that would be so great. Yeah. I would be so excited to see something like that. And see, that's the thing that I'm bringing up. Microsoft has the IPs right now. They have some IPs that they're sitting on that they can expand upon and can be exciting to play, that will get people excited. But along with that, also create some new ones. Create some new IPs, that things that I can only play on your platform that look interesting, that takes a risk. Maybe it succeeds, maybe it fails, but take that risk. I just want to see it. That's it. I just want you to try, you know? And then obviously we know they're going to have some big third-party marketing tie-ins. I'm really looking like Splinter Cell is probably going to be tied to Xbox at this point. We probably could suspect a Cyberpunk 2077 to be tied to Xbox. We know Anthem is tied to Xbox, etc. So it will be a very interesting E3 for them on what they decide to talk about and show. I still think, even though Fortnite has taken over the world, they have an advantage with PUBG on their platform right now. Lock down something with them. Once PUBG 1.0 comes out, lock it down to your platform. I think that would be a huge win for them.
I'm surprised you said not this year for Halo.
Well, you know, I've been saying for the longest, it's 3 years is this year. It should come this year. But if they need to delay, again, what we always say, if you need more time to get it right, then take more time. Don't rush it out. So if they need to delay it until spring of next year, then do it. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine we're not talking about Halo 6 a year from now that we've played it. I would be very surprised by that. But if it needs that much of a delay to get it right, then by all means, do it.
But see, here's the tricky part. We're going to go to the next topic in a few minutes here. But here's the tricky part, Paris. If they delay the game that's coming out, let's say downstage is coming out 2019, right, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing for the holidays, then us as content creators and even the gamers, everybody's going to be, and the media, everybody's going to say, yo, Microsoft doesn't have no exclusive because of that. So it's tricky. Delay the game or release something for the holidays. Like, where,
but you can't.
There's no.
But the IP of Halo means more than having a barren wasteland of a holiday for 2018. If they screw up Halo 6, that IP is in serious trouble, because I feel like Halo 5 put it on the I'm not so sure I want to play this anymore list for me. So Halo 6 is their redemption. They got to redeem this IP. And forget multiplayer. I'm not talking about multiplayer. I'm talking about the campaign. I'm talking about John 117, Cortana, and everything that we've learned over the past, I don't know, 15 years or however long it's been, 18 years with Master Chief, that story. You need to continue that story or branch it off into something else. And you can't screw it up. You can't. Because then you're risking damaging your most valuable IP. And they know that. There's no way they're going to rush Halo 6 out after what we got with Halo 5, with the false marketing of Halo 5. Whatever the marketing is on it also has to match what we actually play in the game as well. Because as consumers, we're just simply not going to trust it anymore. Because I'll tell you right now, that was one of the most disappointing things for me a couple years ago, was to see what the campaign of Halo 5 was compared to what they were trying to sell me with the marketing. You know, remember that podcast they had was fantastic. You know, just all the commercials, everything that they were doing. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so great. Is Master Chief a hero? Is he a villain? You know, what's going on? You know? And then we got what we got. And I was like, Jesus, really? You know, you got Luke Cage. Yeah. Luke Cage couldn't even bother to do the voice. He was like, I'm Luke Cage. I'm out. You know,
I'm done.
Yeah.
Yo, I know last week we were talking about games that we would like to see from back in the days to come out now for the new consoles. And here's some news that I received this press release a couple of days ago from Sega. They are going to release Shenmue 1 and 2 for the PlayStation 4 Xbox One and also PC for this year. I'm very excited about this because, you know, I'm a huge fan of Shenmue. I'm waiting for Shenmue 3. You know, I had the first Shenmue on the Dreamcast. I also got it for the original Xbox. It also came with a DVD of a movie version of Shenmue 1. And then the extra disc was the actual game of Part 2. Because here in the States, it wasn't available for the Dreamcast, only in Europe. If you had the European version of a Dreamcast, you could play Shenmue 1 and 2 and stuff. So I'm very excited. I know there's a lot of people that never play the game. I think this is a great opportunity to play it before Part 3 comes out. So I think it's cool, man. Really, really cool, man. Your thoughts, Paris, about Shenmue 1 and 2 coming to the new consoles and also PC?
Yeah, again, why not tap into that nostalgia factor? It's an asset that you can use. We know Part 3 is going to come out, so there's probably a lot of people that have never played the first two Shenmues, and it gives them an opportunity to check it out and play it. And it's kind of similar to me with Red Dead. I never played Red Dead. Now, the disc should be here in a day or two, and it gives me a chance to actually sit down and play Red Dead over the summer and get ready for it to come out late October. So similar.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be really good, man. And also, Sega announced their mini Sega Genesis that's coming out also, too. But here's the problem about that. You know, I was excited, like, wow, Sega Genesis mini and all that, right? So I did some research, and I found out that it's a company called AT Games. For those that don't know about that company, you know when you go to Walmart or Target, you see, like, a plug-and-play Sega Genesis little consoles that you could buy for really cheap. Mm-hmm. Right, this company, I don't know why they're the ones working on the Sega Genesis Mini, hopefully coming out this year. But the problem with them is their ports of all these old games that you could plug it in and play on your TV. It's horrible. Bad reviews everywhere from different consoles. It even had like a handheld version of Sega Genesis, which was really bad. So for example, let's say you play the first Sonic game. Remember the music from Sonic? That's like an iconic music. The first time you play on the Sega Genesis, right? On their version, the one that they had on the handheld version, the music sounded really slow. Some of the other games probably is like very slow, or like the audio will pop in and out. Like, it's freaking bad. Bad reviews everywhere. So I was excited for this little Sega Genesis Mini, but then when I found out that it's actually them again working on it, with Sega, it killed the whole thing. So out of all the announcements, Shenmue 1 and Shenmue 2 was the one that got me excited with that. And I know they also announced that they're releasing Sega Ages. It's 15 games that's coming out for the Nintendo Switch. So I know three of them is Sonic. I can't remember the second one. And the third one is Phantasy Star. They're going to release that for the Nintendo Switch, which is cool. I think it's going to be separate. You could download it through the eShop and everything, man. So that's cool. But yeah, the Sega Genesis Mini, my recommendation is don't buy the other stuff, because AT Games, not good, man. Really bad, man. Your thoughts, Paris, about all this stuff?
Again, it's great. It just goes back to the Shenmue thing. It taps into the nostalgia that some people will want to take advantage of, and just exposes it to people that have never played it before. It gives them that option. So I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, man. By the way, I know we talked about also A Way Out a couple days ago. We were, talking about the game, and we mentioned, man, is it going to sell a lot? But here's some interesting news. A Way Out sells 1 million copies within 3 weeks, more than EA thought it would sell in its lifetime. Very interesting news, man. I think that's awesome. The way how they were promoting it, that you could get one copy and you could play it with your friend. They only have to download the demo version, and they could play the whole game with you with just one copy. That's pretty cool, man.
No, it
surprised everyone.
Yeah, it really is. Really cool. Again, take risk. Try something new. This was something different, and people were receptive to it. So now EA sees that. they'll try something else again. You know, it's that's what I like about this. Stop just doing the same things over and over again. I mean, we really hit a rut there for a few years where we're just basically seeing the same damn games over and over and over again and not seeing anyone try a risk or do something innovative. Hey, look, the dude was wilding out at the Video Game Awards, but you know what? I'd rather him just go to every award show talking trash and keep making innovative games versus him not say a word and just rinse and repeat everything.
Yep. Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to play the game, man, go right now and try it out. I think A Way Out is really cool. It's one of those games that surprised me a lot this year, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool, man. So worth it. By the way, Paris, I know we talked about Borderlands, all that stuff, right? But there's rumors that 2K are working on a top secret new BioShock game. Your thoughts about that, sir?
It's not surprised at all. I mean, think about it. Infinite was 2013. It's time. It is absolute time. That is one of 2K's biggest IPs, you know, outside of Borderlands and NBA 2K is BioShock. So you're not going to shelve one of your biggest IPs for too long. It's been 5 years. You know, speaking of, we don't know what the hell Ken Levine's working on because, I mean, he splintered off to do his own thing and we've not heard a peep, you know, in what, 3 or 4 years from him. I mean, it's not his team doing it. It's someone else, like they said, top secret, but would not shock me at all to see BioShock show up on someone's stage at E3. I don't think it'll be this holiday, but I think they'll start talking about it at least, which is good.
Yeah, I can see this announcement at the PlayStation press conference. Go up, hype the crowd, show a little teaser trailer, and that's it. Don't mention the year when it's released, nothing. Just hype it up, and boom, create a huge buzz because everybody's waiting for a new BioShock game. Now, I'm a little bit worried about this, Paris, because the first game, Ken Levine worked on the first BioShock game, right, and Infinite. But the second game was from a different company, and that game didn't really get great reviews.
That actually, and to be honest with you, BioShock 2 is one of the most underrated games of all time. It's actually a really, really good game. People slept on it because, you know, they pushed that multiplayer stuff and all that. But I'll tell you, one of the best DLCs ever made was Minerva's Den. I dare anybody to say different. It was great. Mm-hmm. And going back and played it, you know, post when it came out back then, it's really good. It and honestly, in a lot of ways, it's better than the original BioShock.
I won't say that, dude.
I will because the last 25% of the original BioShock is a freaking dumpster fire because you could tell he didn't know how to end it. And they wind up just going the safe route with it and just basically did the villain of the week. And, you know, I was actually very underwhelmed by the ending of the original BioShock. I mean, the original BioShock obviously had that discovery and wonder of Rapture because we'd never seen anything like that before. The story was actually very solid, you know, through the first half of it, but it really sputtered at the end. I will say that BioShock 2 story, you know, held up the entire way and introduced some new gameplay mechanics, which were a lot of fun. And then obviously Infinite, you know, became what it was one of my favorite games, you know, of the last generation. But BioShock 2 didn't have the commercial success that Infinite or the original most likely had. I'd actually be curious to go see the numbers on that. But to me, very underrated. It's actually a really good game. Sorry, I know I derailed it, but I'm a sword and shielder for BioShock 2. I think it's a really good game.
It's all good. By the way, that's a perfect example of not every game needs to have multiplayer because, man, I don't know what was the point of adding multiplayer in that game.
Because really that was added that, again. That was added kind of like everything has to be freaking battle royale right now. That during that time of that generation of the 360 and PlayStation 3, everything had to have multiplayer attached to it because it extends the life of the game. It keeps people playing it. You buy DLC, all that stuff. I get it. And obviously that morphed into what we have today with all this microtransaction stuff. But that's another conversation.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
But now I'm going to go back to Sea of Thieves pretty soon. I read that Rare is planning to add a lot of content for the game, which is great. Like I said, communication is the key. You communicate with your fans, blog posts, video, social media, and it's all good. So starting in May and stretch out all over the throughout the summer with updates and weekly events. So I know that the developer of Rare detailed a post-release support for the game, revealing that the additional content will come via weekly events featuring new mechanics and rewards. This will kick off sometime in May with the release of the Hungering Deep, which introduced a new AI threat. Don't know what that is. Let's see if it's a bit similar to the ones that we played at when it came out and stuff. But yeah, I think it's gonna be good, man. Really, really good for them to start adding new content, and especially weekly content. We need that. I think that's dope. Your thoughts, Paris? Because you haven't played Sea of Thieves in a while.
Yeah, and I probably won't play it for a while. I'm just being honest. I really don't have that much interest.
That's fine.
I don't have that much interest in what they're saying, other than the fact that good. Glad you're communicating. I'm glad that they're extending a roadmap. But it's pretty much what I told you when the game came out, man. Everybody will talk about it for 2 weeks. Oh, Sea of Thieves. And then people are just going to go back to playing what they've already been playing. I don't see this game, unless it has a complete overhaul of what it is, having long legs. It is more of a casual thing that people will drop in and drop out of. Great. Maybe 6 months from now or some event, I'll come in, play it, and I'll play it for a week, and then I'm going to go back and play something else. You know, and that's just what it is. And I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying that's me on what I would play and what I'm going to devote my time to. Sea of Thieves is not going to be it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to do some fan mail? We have a couple of emails and stuff that we could read and stuff. You want to do that, Paris?
Let's do it. Let me pull up email.
All right. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So let me read this one while you're looking for other emails and stuff. All right. So this is from Jesse. Hi, Jesse from Connecticut here. Xbox Silent J86. My first experience with Gamertag Radio was actually first hearing Danny on the Mommy Gamers when I was randomly searching for different video game podcasts. My question is, what do you think of the importance of guest starring on other podcasts? Do you use these opportunities to promote your own podcast, or is it more of a helping out with the podcast you're visiting? Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks for your time and keep up the great work. I think it's a combination of both. It's, we'll promote our podcast and stuff, but at the same time, it's good to go to other podcasts or other shows because, you know, we're part of the same community. It's a thing of helping each other out, cross-promote, because there's listeners priority that listens to the Mommy Gamers that doesn't know anything about GTR, or vice versa. They'll come to our show. There's people that never heard that podcast. So it's a good thing for both, man, to help and promote. Because I know Paris goes to other Destiny community podcasts all the time, right? They know about Paris, but they probably don't know much about GTR. They learn a little bit about us. They probably will be curious and start listening to the show just because of Paris. You know, I do the same thing. You know, I go to other podcasts and radio shows and stuff like that, right? So I think it's good for both, man. You know, I think it's a great way to for other people to discover new content. That's what I see it, you know?
No, I agree. And that's exactly what it is. It's a little bit of both. You're obviously going on someone else's show to you know, somewhat self-promote yourself, because you're not going to ask you where you're from, what do you do, all that stuff. So you're going to do that. And then, you know, like he mentioned, like last week I was on Destiny Community Podcast, and we're obviously talking Destiny. So I'm there to add my insight to what their podcast is about and what their topic is, just to give basically an outside opinion of whatever the normal host may be. And then, you know, like I said, people that listen to it or watch it, if they like what, you know, if they like what you're bringing to the table, they'll be curious about, well, where did you come from? Gamer Tag Radio. Well, let me go check it out. And, you know, they'll give it a download and a listen. And we've seen over the years multiple times where that's happened, where, you know, myself or Danny have been on another podcast. And then people are like, oh, I heard you over here. And now I'm checking you out over here. I like what you guys do. Keep up the great work, etc. So it works both ways. It's a great way, you know, to promote yourself and to also just help out other podcasts and other mediums as well by bringing your own unique insight and flavor, you know, to whatever it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. You have another email?
Yeah, let's read this one, and I'm going to butcher the name. It is Yubsam. Sorry, I'm saying your name wrong. But he's from Puerto Rico, and he's saying, hi, Gamertag crew. Do you guys think that Xbox Game Pass should be the new Xbox Live subscription? I'm an Xbox One owner, but I play on PC. There's no need of Xbox Live to play online. I don't want to play $5 a month just to play online. I'd rather pay $10 for hundreds of games. My prediction, it will happen at E3. Thanks to Peter and Paris for advising me when I was buying my PC parts back in July. Keep up the great work, GTR. So thank you for the email. And I don't think it'll be as straightforward as what you're saying. I can see them doing something like, I called it like Xbox Live Platinum or Premium or something like that, where they basically bundle Gold and Game Pass into one monthly or yearly payment, and you basically get a discount on both. I forget what the math is, but I know when I've been talking about this previously, I could see something like maybe $140 a year, $150 a year, because, you know, if you buy Game Pass on its own, it's $120. And I believe if you buy Gold right now, it's what, $60. So it's what, $180. So, you know, you get a little discount, $150 a year for both bundled in. And, you know, you can go from there. But if you have no desire for Game Pass, then you can still just buy, you know, Gold on its own. And then and the fact that you can technically use Game Pass on PC even right now for all the new first party content that's coming out, you know, maybe you want to do that. Maybe that's your plan. Even as a PC gamer with Xbox Live Play Anywhere, I'll just spend $120 a year, and I know I'll get all the new Xbox exclusive content that comes out that way. So it works both ways. I do, as a PC gamer, I did like the fact that I did not need to buy Xbox Live Gold to play Xbox games with multiplayer and stuff. I think it's kind of, I don't want to say unfair, but it is almost like a double standard that they know PC gamers will not pay for Gold, so they just give it to you, versus console people, you still have to pay for it. So I don't know. I do think there will be some type of announcement, like I said, with Gold and Game Pass, because Game Pass is going to be a big thing for them moving forward, because they're truly starting to take gaming towards the subscription service. And I think logically that's where it all should go. And if Game Pass is a success, we've obviously seen EA Access, I do think it will force Nintendo and PlayStation to do something similar down the road.
Yep. Totally agree with that, man. Totally agree with that. All right. So Cammy, this is from Discord. This is a short question, which is great. I like this. Hey, Godfrey, Paris, have you been following the new NBA 2K League? I was wondering if either of you will follow the new league and get some interviews with some of the players. It's pretty cool to see the NBA, NBA organizations getting into gaming and taking it seriously. Shout out to Cammy. Thanks for the question. Yeah, I watched the draft live. I watched it on Twitch, and already contacted 2K Games and the 2K League for them to give us access and stuff. I think it's important for us to cover more esports, you know, esports tournaments and stuff like that. You know, we used to do that back in the days during the Halo 2 days and stuff, right? And I think it's going to be good, man. I'm excited to check out the local games too, the local teams, I mean. The Miami Heat, they have their team. It's called Heat Check Gaming. So like the hat, I'm going to check that out too. I know it starts later this summer, so we'll keep you posted if we're going to be attending any of their games. And I'm going to try also to get some interviews of some of the players and stuff, man. Paris, what do you think about that, man? You know, the NBA organization is getting into gaming more and more, because I know you went a couple of years ago to one of their events there and stuff, man. So
yeah, I think it's great. I just think it's a natural synergy between the two. I love the fact that the NBA is actually embracing this and supporting it. Look, we all know esports is huge. In some cases, it's actually bigger than like going to the movies or going to an actual sporting event itself, the number of people that actually watch this stuff. So instead of trying to distance themselves from it, they're pulling it even closer and embracing and integrating it into what they're doing. And it's just going to get more and more people excited about it. I think it's great. Why not? You know, it is an event now, and doing this and being able to work closely with the NBA, you know, these esport players who, like I said, when I went to that event a couple of years ago, it was amazing, right? So in a weird way, they're athletes themselves. When you think of it that way, they're obviously not physical athletes, but just, you know, the skill set that it takes with a controller and just, you know, the hand-eye coordination still applies, in my opinion. It's just different, obviously. So I like it. I dig it. I would love to see the NFL maybe start working with EA and work more closely with Madden as an example. Maybe we even see Major League Baseball do something with Sony, with MLB The Show, things like that. So look, the more integration we get with this, the more closely we get, you know, because again, fantasy sports, all that stuff is huge. So, you know, we've seen like the NFL obviously work closely with things like DraftKings and all that. So why not have the NBA work closely with 2K and the NBA series? It just makes sense.
Yeah, last year I attended the FIFA esports event that they have here in Miami. And that was, dude, that was actually fun. I was there, you know, I'm not a hardcore soccer guy, right? But being there at the event, it got me super hyped, man. I was screaming, cheering for one of the players and stuff. And yeah, I would love to see more of that, man. That's awesome. I think that's really, really dope, man.
Yeah.
All right. So Here's another question from MKV8493. GTR crew, what would you like to see in the next installment of Donkey Kong? I enjoy the heck out of the 3D world. However, even as the separate release, I would love to see a new side-scrolling platform. The Donkey Kong on the Super Nintendo was one of my favorite gaming experiences. I think that they could have a hit on their hands if they release something like this. Your thoughts? Man, Donkey Kong Country was freaking good, man. That was a really good game. I was living in Dominican Republic at that time. That's when I had my little arcade area, you know, my little business. One of the games that I had where I was promoting a lot was Donkey Kong Country. You know, I was promoting it, you know, because of the whole graphics and people could play two players and everything. So I'll charge people, you know, money just for them to play one player or two players. But that game was actually a lot of fun, man. I thought playing this game at that time, I was like, man, graphics cannot get better than this, man. This is so good, man. So now with you know, with Nintendo Switch, man, they need to do something like that, man. Yeah, I know everybody could do the whole 3D world and all that stuff, but man, we need something new from Donkey Kong, man. Really, really something cool and new. Besides the whole Mario Kart and all that stuff, man. But what you think, Paris?
You know, he brought up a great point when he brought up the 2D side-scrolling aspect of it, because it took me back. So I'm going to tell a little story really quick. My family, back in 1982, we took a road trip from St. Petersburg, Florida, where we drove all up the East Coast, went all the way up to New York. I think we went to like Vermont, New Hampshire, Ohio, and all that. But it all culminated where we went to the 1982 World's Fair, which was in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I don't remember exactly where this was along the road trip or whatever, but I just remember vividly we stopped at a hotel, you know, obviously stay over the night or whatever. And they had like a little arcade inside the hotel. And I went inside the hotel and I saw this game, and it was called Donkey Kong. I'd never seen it before. This is the first time I ever saw it. Obviously, I already knew about Pac-Man and all that stuff, but I'd never seen Donkey Kong before until that moment. And I remember playing it and instantly fell in love with it. And the rest is history. But I bring that up because, you know, I know this sidetracks from Donkey Kong specifically, but remember, Mario was the character that you were in that game. Back then, he was just simply called Jumpman. He was a nameless guy. And obviously, Miyamoto took that character, he became Mario and became the great, huge, multi-billion dollar franchise that it is today, which is crazy when you think about it. But I bring that up because I don't want that type of 2D Donkey Kong anymore. I don't want to be Mario. If anything, I like what they did with Donkey Kong Jr., where I get to actually play as one of the Kongs and Mario's the villain. I like that a lot better. I would love to see them do some type of remake of that or a different twist on it where I get to still play as the Kongs. We do some type of 2D platformer with the Kongs. And yeah, let's bring Mario back as a bad guy. I think people sleep on that and have forgotten that there was a period of time where he was actually the bad guy. I would love to see them do something like I still want to keep the Donkey Kong Country franchise as it is and keep doing that world and everything that you can do in it. But like you brought up the Switch and Virtual Console and all that, do a smaller, more intimate project. Maybe we are doing. See, here's a funny thing. Did you know that in Donkey Kong Country, that Donkey Kong is Donkey Kong Jr.? Did you know that?
Wait, the original Donkey Kong Country?
When you play Donkey Kong Country, that Donkey Kong is Junior. And Cranky Kong is OG Donkey Kong.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
So it's like year past. I thought it was the original characters.
No. Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong Jr. is the Donkey Kong that you're playing in Donkey Kong Country. And then obviously you got Diddy and all the sidekick other characters that are in there. But that Donkey Kong is the actual Donkey Kong Jr., which, you know, if you play through the Donkey Kong Country series, they hint at that, you know, throughout it with little funny ways. But just going back to my point. Yeah, I would love to see a 2D scrolling Donkey Kong come back and have Mario's mad again and he captures Cranky or something and you got to go rescue him and you just do this whole remake on that, and then you can integrate Diddy into it and do other things, other characters, you know, what is it, Candy Kong is a female one as well, you know, integrate them into it as well. But then you still have the standard Donkey Kong Country franchise, but you do something like that as well. And you mentioned, you know, the Mario Kart stuff. I honestly want Diddy Kong Racing to come back. That is a game my wife and I played all the time. And you know, a funny thing about that one, that was the first introduction to Banjo. Banjo was one of the racers in Diddy Kong Racing. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's in there as one of the racers, Banjo Kazooie. But just Banjo, not Kazooie.
That's dope. Yeah, they should bring that back.
Yeah.
Definitely should bring that back. Paris, you want to read another email?
I was looking and I really didn't see anything. I could read this one, which is, he's calling you out. I'll read this one.
All right,
yeah,
go
it's always
it.
Great
yeah,
to call you out. So
yeah, call me out.
Yeah, this Bring is Jaroslaw. I hope I'm saying that correctly. He goes, hi, okay. Gamertag crew. Danny says in an episode 739 that Sony showing the title of this is Crickets, by the way.
I know what you're saying. Okay.
So he says, hi, Gamertag crew. Danny says in an episode 739 that Sony showing an E3 content that is not coming, and then Crickets. What about Microsoft, Danny? Mm-hmm. Heard about Avatars 2.0 back in November 2017, and then what? Crickets. I've been checking and no videos, no nothing about it. It is so hard for Microsoft to do 3-minute video on YouTube about progress or another release date for it. What are your thoughts on this? Thanks for the great podcast. Peace.
Avatars. Really?
I don't remember them ever saying Avatars 2.0.
Well, first of all, let's just say, because I honestly don't remember this at all, but let's just say they did announce it and Crickets after that. Will you buy an Xbox just for the avatars? What I was talking about, I'm talking about games, actual games. You sit down, you pay $60 and you actually play. Not, let me customize my little character from my profile. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It doesn't make no sense. But I said this before, that I think the only time that I remember Microsoft announcing something and then Crickets after that, the perfect example of this was the Halo TV series. Hey, let's bring Steven Spielberg on stage and let's talk about this, man. This is the time where they were promoting TV, 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 right? Yeah, everybody was excited. Oh, it's coming out on Showtime. Actually, we even heard a conversation with Steven Spielberg right next to us during E3. Him talking about this series, saying, oh, yeah, we're still working on it. Raisha Tyler, right? But that was just them on the side just talking. Wasn't like out to the public, let's promote this. And this was like a couple of years after the announcement, right? Still crickets to this day, right? Like, what was the point of Microsoft promoting that and announcing that? Just to look good, maybe get some mainstream press, right? But the whole time that I'm talking about is announcements of games and then quiet after that. You know, what is the point of announcing a game? Like, honestly, I'd rather Microsoft this year at their E3 press conference announce games that's come out this year and next year. Save the other ones for future press conferences. Like, what is the point of announcing games that's coming out 4 or 5 years from now? So we just got to sit there and wait for 4 or 5 years for the game maybe to come out or maybe not. You know, that's the whole point of it, man. Another one I think from Nintendo was the sensor. Do you remember that, Paris?
Oh, I remember the sensor, the health heart monitor thing.
They actually showed a screenshot of it. Yep. At the press conference. Dude, crickets after that. This is during the Wii days, the original Wii. What was the point of them announcing that? And then crickets. What was the whole point? You know, announce something when it's ready. There's companies that have been doing great with that for the past couple of years. Go with that, man. Don't hype something and then stay quiet. That was the whole point of my conversation about that. So I know you try to call me out, but I will always defend myself when it comes to that stuff, man. So there you have it.
I'm still waiting on Bioshock on the Vita. That's all I know. Where is it, Ken?
Oh, my God. Again, what was the point of that? Oh, Bioshock and Vita. Dude, and everybody was like, wow, excited but confused. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
It was weird. It was so weird, man. I don't know. Was there any other announcements, Paris, that you remember that got you hype maybe or was questionable at that time?
I'm trying to think now because that one always just sticks out in my head because just the arrogance as Ken Levine stood on stage, he held up the Vita. I will never forget that.
Yeah,
What was something else that was announced that we just never, you know, I have to think about that. Maybe we talk about it on another episode or something. I got to think about one. But there's more where they show something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think it's just a waste of time. And just to get that buzz at that E3. You know what, to me, I have more respect when company says, hey, this game is coming out this year. Here it is. Boom, a surprise. And no, there's no leaks. It was just announced at the press conference. Or when Sony announced that their console is, what, $299 at that time? Or was it $399? No, $399, my bad, right? Was it $399?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was $399.
PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
Dude, that was a huge announcement. That was big. Got the crowd hype. That's what I'm talking about, man. Show people that instead of, hey, here's a game coming out in 5 years. Maybe 10 years.
No, I got one. Remember when Xbox showed off with Peter Molyneux, they showed off Milo for the Kinect?
Well, originally everybody thought it was a game, but it was actually a demo. And what was the whole point of that?
That's what I'm saying. Nothing even halfway close to that ever came to fruition. I don't know. That's another funny one. But yeah, that's actually a good one. So people listening or watching, send us feedback on that. What is something you remember being announced that just never happened and just went away? That'd be funny to go back and remember.
And actually, those demos that they show, the video demos, like remember the first time they show how you could use Kinect and you see the kids playing and all this stuff. I'm like, that was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. And I had a conversation with somebody that he was on a plane. We were flying from LA to Miami. And he said that his school worked on that project on that video. I think it was a school or agency. I can't quite remember, but he goes, dude, that it's not 100%. That's not going to happen exactly like that. That was just a demo, like what it could be in the future. But, you know, got to be careful, guys. It's the same thing when companies show a game that it looks phenomenal, right? And then when the game actually comes out, it's like, wait a minute, it's not exactly like the E3 demo. So that's why, Paris, this is why I'm excited for Anthem, right? I'm excited for that game. But come on, is it 100% exactly like that is going to look when it comes out to consoles?
Well, and that's why EA Play is going to be very big this year, because it allegedly is going to be hands-on with Anthem, and that's going to be the real tell of the tape. I mean, even Destiny sold us a bag of goods when they initially showed it off. It was not the game that we got at launch, and it still has never reached that original concept of it. You know, you can actually go back to PlayStation. Was that the 2013 one or 2014? I can't remember. I think it was 2013 mm-hmm. one, where it was still Joel Staten was still at Bungie, and they did that onstage demo of it, and they went into the Cosmodrome and all that. We never got anything close to that, you know, with Destiny. And could be the same with Anthem. That's why we'll have to wait and see. Hell, even the original concept of The Division, they never got that close. It didn't get that close. It wound up being it's a great game now, but it was nowhere near that original concept of what they showed. Mm-hmm. So,
oh my God, remember this one, Paris? The Legend. This is the legendary demo from back the early days of the original Xbox, when Bungie showed Halo 2 for the first time, and they actually played it. That level never came out. that was never in the game. But it was cool to see the reaction from people when they show like the levels, the things you could do. Man, the crowd was going crazy, crazy, crazy. But yeah, that level never came out.
Right.
I think that was more of a concept, like, oh, like this is what you could do in the game. Which in a way, it's a great idea because there's no spoilers, right? But at the same time, it's like disappointing. Like, man, they should release that as like a bonus, right? Play the original E3 demo of this level, whatever, once you finish the game. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, so, it'd be. I have to acknowledge this really quick. I know we don't acknowledge the Twitch chat too much, but there's someone in the Twitch chat going crazy because I had said The Division wasn't what they originally showed off. Look, I play it on PC in 4K 60 and all that. Trust me, it looks phenomenal, but it don't look that damn good compared to what they showed when they originally added with all the destructible environments and everything. Like I said, just go back and watch the video. That's all. Judge for yourself. I could be wrong, but from my memory, it never got close to that original concept of it. There was a visual downgrade to what it ultimately became, which, look, happens all the time. It's fine. And as far as Anthem goes, if it was gameplay, great. But until I see someone that is not an employee of Electronic Arts have that controller in their hand and they're playing it and it still looks then I will remain skeptical, because we've been burned way too many times on that stuff. Trust me, I hope Anthem looks that great, plays that great, is a phenomenal IP. I want it to be. I love these kind of games, obviously, because I'm huge into Destiny. So I want it to be this way. But we'll see in 2 months at EA Play. We'll see. And I hope it is everything that we want it to be. I really do.
Do you remember when Ubisoft showed Watch Dogs for the first time? How good it looked?
Another classic example of that one. Because, when they originally demoed Watch Dogs was never close to that. You know, when we played it ourselves. That's what I mean. This happens all the time. So it's not, here is the king of it. The king of the old bait and switch. And if you watch NoClip's documentary on Guerrilla Games, they even talk about it. Killzone 2.
Oh my God. What was the point of that?
But the sad thing about that was all PlayStation marketing. Even Guerrilla Games didn't know they were showing it. Go watch the NoClip thing from Danny O'Dwyer. They talk about it in that. Where Guerrilla Games even got duped. They were like, wait, what? we didn't say we could do this. And then they showed it off. And then obviously, and look, Killzone 2 wound up looking phenomenal on PlayStation 3. It really did. It just didn't look that damn good, you know?
It looked like. I remember that time. Everyone was like, man, this is crazy good, right? But then we never got to see a game like that at that time, right? But then Gears of War came out, and they actually show a demo of that game. It was Cliffy B playing at one of their Microsoft press conferences and stuff, and now everybody was impressed. Everybody was like, what? This is not no fake, man. This is not no fake game. This is the actual real, because people were saying, when are we going to see actual gameplay of Killzone at that time? And yo, there was crickets. No, it was nothing, man. PlayStation was just staying quiet about that, man. But see, you know, you can't blame the developers on that, man. It's the marketing, man. Marketing team.
Yeah.
Marketing team. Really just want to create a buzz. Yeah, you know? And every company has done that mistake in the past, man. You know?
You know, it's funny. You brought up the original Gears of War. I remember being in, I guess that it had been E3 2006. Had to have been, right? It had to have been. But anyways, I remember being at E3, and at the NVIDIA booth, they were showing off Gears of War on the PC. Oh, it looks so freaking good in person. Yeah. And obviously the 360 couldn't do that, what we saw on PC at the time. But that just kind of showed you that, yeah, it really could look that phenomenal because, you know, it was on the PC. But yeah, I mean, like I said, stuff happens all the time with the marketing. Like we had said earlier in the show, like with Halo 5, to me, that's just the ultimate bait and switch on where they sold you one thing in the marketing and then they gave you something completely different when you sat down and played it. So hopefully some lessons have been learned about that specifically for Halo and they don't try and pull something like that again. But we're going to see it at E3 this year. I promise you. At the various press conferences, they're going to show you a non-gameplay trailer and it's going to look so amazing and da-da-da-da-da. And everyone's going to be hyped and screaming in the crowds and all that stuff. And then when you actually sit down and play it, it's not going to be that good. And look, to bring this completely full circle, and I'll shut up about this, we started the show talking about God of War. God of War looks phenomenal. I am not saying it does not at all, but let's be real. It ain't looking as good as when you and I sat at that PlayStation press conference when they showed it that first time. Because remember, everyone was like, this has got to be on the pro, right? This is a pro. Oh, my God. Yeah, this looks great. Yeah, look, and it still looks great, but not that damn great. Yeah, it happens all the time. It's just a part of it.
People need to understand, too, that gaming companies, when they work on an E3 demo, that's a separate thing than the actual game demo. E3 demo, they'll increase the graphics, it could look a lot better. Not, but dude, when it comes to the real retail game, two different worlds, man.
I got one for you. I got one for you. Another one for you. And you know how much I love this game. Do you remember when we saw The Witcher 3 for the first time? We went, CD Projekt Red had the meeting room upstairs at E3 and they were giving us all beer and everything. And they showed us that demo of The Witcher 3. And it was in 4K. It looked amazing. I'm like, oh my God. Everybody's going crazy watching it.
Yeah.
I love The Witcher 3. I play the damn thing all the time. It don't look that good. Where's that game? I want that game. I would love to have that game right now. You know?
Yeah.
It's just a part of it.
The reason why we're having this conversation, by the way, because of the email that we got, one of our listeners was trying to call me out and everything. But at the same time, it's good for us to I'm not saying not to get hype because, we all get excited and hype with announcements and stuff. But sometimes we got to sit back and question, like, is that the legit video? Is that the legit video? We can't just go, oh, my God, it's the greatest game ever. Oh, my God, best press conference ever. We got to be smarter than that. As consumers, we have to be smart.
You do.
And not get too crazy excited, man. It's good to sit back and question the company. It doesn't matter who it is. Question to see if that's the legit retail game that we're going to see when it comes out. That's
the one thing, like when we see these things at E3, 9 times out of 10, they're running it on the highest end PC possible. So you're getting every texture, ultra 4K thing that they could possibly do on it. And you also have to remember to keep a stable frame rate. A lot of times that's why you see the downgrade to these things. So we may see it actually with a person with a controller or keyboard in their hand playing it and it looks amazing. And then when we get that same game at our house, we could be running it on a super high end PC, all the bells and whistles, but it's still downgraded because they got to keep that frame rate. Again, if you want the most amazing looking game ever, I'm sure it's possible today. It'll probably run at 5 frames per second, though, which makes it unplayable when you get it to your house. That's the problem that we're running into. But with all that said, obviously the GPU technology is getting better and better every year. We already see what the Xbox One X is. We see what the PS4 Pro is. The next iterations of these consoles are going to be even more powerful. And we're just going to get visual eye candy moving forward. It's just going to happen. But with all that said, I could give two about visual fidelity. Give me a great game. I love it. Yeah. We all love the eye candy. All of us love it. But if the game sucks, doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So again, bringing it all full circle, props to Sony Santa Monica for what they've done with God of War, because it's giving us everything. The visual eye candy, the story, the gameplay, everything. That's what we want. You know, if you can hit all those, look, if there's a checkbox that you can miss, I'd rather you miss the visual checkbox than to miss the story and the gameplay. Because to me, those are the two key components to a good game. Not tech specs. Just give me a good story and a good game. Doesn't matter the rest of it.
Yeah. I mean, we play games that looks great, but it's just boring.
Yeah.
Graphics is not everything, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, you know what I find it more important is the music, in my opinion, too, because I'm actually playing it. I'm feeling the music. I'm hearing the sound effects. Like, it moves you, right? Graphics, I could play a game that's 8-bit graphics, and it's fun. It has great music and great controls, and it's fun. That's all it matters, man. You know, to me, graphics comes and goes, man. You know,
agreed. So, agreed. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or AudioBoom.com. Also, you can find us in different apps. You could subscribe and download the podcast, follow us, search for us, different apps. Here it is. There's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to spread the word. Make sure to review us, because that will help us out. You know, we'll climb up top of the charts and people, you know, will discover us like that too, man. So yeah, spread the word about GTR. Tune in Thursday night on their Facebook page. Hopefully I will win an award. But I'm going to be there hanging out with a lot of people that are coming from out of the state, man. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Anything else, Paris, from you?
No, I think that's it. Good episode. Being able to, like I say, just talk overall everything about gaming going on right now. I mean, we're ramping up to E3. So, you know, a lot of these companies are going to play things close to the vest until they can start making their announcements at E3. So I kind of think the news will start slowing down a bit. But I'm excited for God of War coming out. Can't wait to get my hands on that and play it. Hopefully we'll hear some more news about this Halo Master Chief Collection before E3. I'm starting to think it's going to get announced at E3, but we'll see.
Mm. So thanks for listening to episode 753. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.